everybody loves Wednesday. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rob Foster with episode number 138 of Shut Up and Grind. So today we're going to be talking about a whole host of different topics when I bring my guest on. But first, if you're new to the show, welcome. First and foremost, welcome. But we talk about overcoming obstacles. We talk about defying the odds. We talk about getting rid of that little voice in your head that makes you doubt yourself. And between my own stories and the stories of my guests, we're hoping to inspire you to tell that little voice to shut its mouth because you have stuff to do. You have things you want to accomplish out there in this world. You have goals. You have dreams. You got hopes. You have wishes. You have aspirations. And I'm running out of adjectives. But whatever it is, you have it. All right. And we want to give you the motivation and the inspiration and usable action steps that you can take to help you reach those goals. And why should you listen to me? Allow me to introduce myself. I started doing workshops and doing groups where I'm getting up in front of others, like outside of the gym setting, and talking about resilience and perseverance and goal setting and vision and taking action. You should know what 1 hour of your time is worth. You should know the value that you bring to the marketplace. You know what your passion is. It starts with clarity of vision. If you don't have the clarity of vision, whatever next thing you get, you're not going to see it through because you don't have the clarity of vision. So the point of my pain was being told you will never run or jump again. All that stuff, I was like, you know what, like, I want to be able to take this even bigger. You know why you do what you do. You have to know how to charge for what you do. That's how you're going to change your life, and that's how you're going to leave a legacy for your children and your family. You got to know your worth. All right, before we dive in, I want to give a birthday shout out. This is my sister Regina's 49th birthday. Damn right, I blasted your age, right? 49th birthday today. Happy birthday, sis. And no matter what, you're always going to be older than me. Just never forget that. All right, so as we dive into today's teachable moment. So what I want to talk about today is about you not letting other people infiltrate your headspace. And people say, well, that's so hard to do. It's really not, because you pick and choose what bothers you. So if someone says something, you give it the power to affect you or not. So for example, we'll just take a female or even two men, whichever. And somebody comes up and they call you the B word. You have the option of letting that bother you or letting that not bother you. So if you choose to let it bother you, that is on you. If you choose to let it not bother you, that is also on you. See, because we have to understand it's called self-esteem, self-care, self-love, self-awareness. That means you are in control of it. So once you are in control of it, outside forces cannot infiltrate it. They cannot. People can call me anything that they want to call me, and it does not affect me because I know who I am. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I ooze confidence. They can make fun of my race. They can make fun of the fact that I'm bald. They can make fun of the fact that one of my knees is bigger than the other one from surgery. Doesn't matter. I know who I am. No outside force has what it takes to break my skin. And so that's what I want to help other people develop. Because a lot of people that I work with, a lot of the messes that I'm helping them sift through is from stuff that other people put on them. And that's one of the worst things you can do to someone else is to clip their wings, because we were all meant to do amazing things. Just amazing comes in many different forms. So for some people, it's athletics. You know, for some people, it's educational stuff. For some people, it's speaking. For some people, it's art. For some people, like my guest today, it's photography. It's a love of wildlife. There's so many different things that are out there that we can be amazing at. So just because someone is great at one thing doesn't mean you have to be great at the same thing. You have whatever it is within you that you were destined to be great at. So don't let anyone take that away from you, because that's on you to do. All right. So that's today's teachable moment. So now I mentioned that my guest is into photography. He is into wildlife, and he married the two. So he is an author. Like I said, he's a photographer, wildlife enthusiast. And he seems like an overall great human being, and he's got one hell of a New Jersey accent. So welcome to the show, Dennis Glennon. Welcome.
Hey, good to be here. How you doing?
See what I'm saying? Check out that voice.
Right there. Hey, how you doing? Exit 63, right here, you know?
All right. So you are in New Jersey, right?
Yes, sir.
Mahwah, New Jersey. All right. Yeah. We're going to be down in that area in a few weeks. Well, close. We're doing a Spartan race down there at Mountain Creek.
I've done it.
Oh, nice.
I've done it. Yeah. That's be careful on that last slide. There's a lot of rocks.
I've done that race a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on that mountain ever since 2014, I want to say. So I've done it a lot.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. That's fun.
13 of us heading down, me and some of my gym peeps.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a great accomplishment finishing that. I was 46 when I did my first one, right? I was 46, okay. A bunch of us all. And we're like, we're going to do it. We're going to finish. And we all finished. We all did, what was cool is we were the old dudes, right? We were the old dudes. And we finished right in the middle of the pack. So it was good. Nice. It was good. Yeah.
Yes, I tell a lot of stories about doing those races. Because if you think about it, it's like the ultimate metaphor of life. Because you have to deal with weather. You have to deal with the elements, with the mountain itself. Like you said, with the rocks, if it's muddy, you got to climb, you got to carry, you got to drag stuff. But like you just said, you knew you were going to finish, right?
No
matter what came in your path, you're like, I'm crossing that finish line. But yet in everyday life, people hit one obstacle and quit. You know what I mean? And he quit. Like I said, and that's the purpose of this show is to help people stop that. So we're going to get into your backstory and just whatever you had to accomplish to get to where you are now. So that way we can help the audience connect with you and they can say, oh, here's yet another person that had to go through some stuff to get to where they want to be.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that because I had overcome obstacles that unbelievable. Talk about that. Unbelievable. Right. And sometimes you doubt it. Right. Sometimes you doubt it. You don't know how you're going to make it through it. But deep down, you got to believe. And this is one thing I'll just set off the bat and we'll backtrack. What I learned from the whole thing. Right. You got to believe in yourself more than you even know. You got to believe in yourself. We'll start off there and then we'll work it back. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's true. And that's true in anything. You can take athletics. When I'm training athletes, I tell them, I said, you have to visualize yourself as a champion. It's like you can't wait until you get the trophy. It's like you have to train like you're a champion. You have to think like you're a champion. You have to train like you're a champion. And then you can go out and be a champion. So it's like you actually have to see it and feel it before you can actually go out and get it.
Right, you got to see it in order to believe it. Not believe it and see. You got to see it first, right? Then you believe it, and then it manifests, right? It all comes true. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, are you originally from New Jersey?
Yeah. I grew up in a town about I haven't made it out yet. I grew up 10 miles south of here, a little town called Rochelle Park, and then little square mile town. We didn't even have a high school. So, what was really cool. Then a bunch of small towns. We went to a high school called Hackensack High School, which was huge. Yeah. So the Comets, go Comets, right? And so you got the what a different world, It was so big, and it was like the United Nations, right? And everybody, it was cool because I played a lot of sports, football. I played a little bit of hockey, baseball, and everybody got along. Everybody, it didn't matter, right? It didn't matter. Everybody was cool with each other, no problems, And it was wonderful. It was great. I'm still in touch with guys I played football with and best friends and Hong and this is going on 40 years now, we're still all friends. We're in touch, the power of social media. Everybody hangs and we travel, we try to catch up for a dinner or something, it was wonderful. What a great experience,
Love it. Yeah, same. Like I was born in New York City, but I was raised in a small town in Rhode Island called Charlestown. And same thing, small town, Everybody knew everyone. Like, you could run into the store and leave your car running. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of town.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't do that anywhere near where I am now. Like, you leave your car running, you get your feelings hurt when you come out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Things are weird now, right? Things change, you know? It's crazy.
You know, the thing about it is that it's actually not, like, I've done a decent amount of traveling, even with the COVID restrictions and everything. And, like, people are really, really nice. It's just all the bad stuff gets blasted all over the news and all over the TV. But, like, when you actually get out in the world and start talking to people, like, there are just so many nice and friendly people out there.
The interesting thing, and I agree, and I find it a big problem. I travel extensively for what I do, right? I do wildlife photography, so I travel all over the country. I'm all over the place, and then I do art shows all over the country. So I've had the privilege of meeting everybody, so many people from all over the country, all over the world, you know? And yeah. You don't know, one thing you learn about life. What I learned early on, thank God, as I traveled, is we're all the same. We're all the same. We all want the same basic stuff, right? We all want to be, you know, financially successful, right? We all want to have a good family. We want to have good friends. We want to, most people, if you're, you know, good people, you want to open your heart. You want to help each other, right? That's what I learned. And I've had conversations with people. I didn't even speak the same language, but through gestures, this, that. And you find a way, right? And you find that we're all the same. The media, right? And I got... You know, I go on media interviews and this and that, and sometimes I watch the news and I'm like, it's not the reality. The reality is most people are damn good people, willing to help you, take the shirt off the back. And I don't know, they got to find those people and put them out there, because I meet people every day, all the time. And I oh my God. And then it's not a good depiction of reality. It really is distorted. And I know people need ratings, whatever they need. I don't get it. I always wanted to start, I don't know, I probably three people would watch, but like the Positivity Network, right? Like, come to my, like, what I do on my social media, I don't, even if I'm having the worst day in the world, like, sometimes it happens, not too often, but I would never post it, because I'm here to uplift people, right? I want to help people. Like, my whole thing is, if I could do something today, every day, in any moment, to make somebody smile, then that's what I do. I share my wildlife photos for that reason, and my puppy photos, because I got so many DMs and emails and calls and this and that, like, thank you for posting. You just made my day. I got horrible stuff going on, the COVID, or, you know, so my best friend died, and, you know, what you said kind of resonated, and you know, what did it cost me? It cost me nothing. What, a second of my time, and I get a response to help somebody like that? That's what we got to do here, right? On this earth, we gotta help each other. I don't understand. Like, I don't even hardly watch the news. I really don't. People say, oh, you don't know what's going on. Nah, I know what's going on. I just don't want to watch that version of what's going on. Like, I could go out and do something positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and 9 times out of 10, that's not even really what's going on, because people have to realize that the media is run by the government. So the media depicts what they want us to see.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where you got to go a couple layers deeper, right? Find those independent freelance reporters that give you the entire story. Because I actually said, I think it was 2 shows ago, where I said the last thing the government wants is unity. It's the last thing they want. Because if we all come together, then we don't need them. That's like, notice how everything is controversial now. Everything is, like, as long as they keep us fighting, they stay in charge. So whether it's white versus black, men versus women, trans versus straight, you know what I mean? It's always something. Abortion, pro-life, pro-choice, the voter suppression laws.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
So, like, everything is just one big controversy after another. And that's by design. But so, like, once you look past all that BS, you can see, like you said, people just want to be happy. They want to be successful. They want to take care of their family. They want good friends. Like, most people don't care about that stuff that they're pumping us, in the TV. But they're making us believe that we have to care about that. You know?
So then you
find someone with a different belief system than you, and now we're fighting. And it's dumb. And they sit back and they collect money all day long.
I don't want to fight with anybody. If I could do my thing is I want to get along with people, have fun, laugh and have a good time. If I could inspire somebody, if I could help do something to say something and coach somebody to give them some insight into maybe something they could do better, be more successful, be happier, like anything like that, or just a smile. It's that simple. Why would I don't get why somebody wouldn't do that. I don't, it's not in my mindset. Why wouldn't somebody help somebody if you can and when you can?
A total case in point. I was at Chick-fil-A the other day and my son went inside because he wanted a sandwich. And so my daughter and I were still in the car. And so my daughter happened to glance over and she's like, oh my God, do they need help? And so I look over and it was two elderly people and the woman had fallen. She was on the ground. So I'm unbuckling to get out of my car to help. Three people walked right by them, walked right past them. And I was like, excuse me, do you need help? And he's like, yes, please. So I go over, they were two elderly white people. Nobody stopped and said, oh no, we don't want you to help us. And I wasn't like, I'm not going to go help those white people, but you watch the news and that's what they have you thinking. It's like I went over there. I had the guy hold the chair. I picked his wife up. They were both so and you could tell in their eyes they were genuinely grateful. For the help. And that's most people. And like I said in my opening monologue, it's about self. People forget about the self part. And so you're doing what you're doing because you want to leave your mark on the world. I started this show because there is so much nonsense out there. And I want to highlight that you can get to the other side of the nonsense. I went through my fair share of hardships, from foreclosure to a car being repossessed to being ranked number one in the region and then ended up losing. There's so many different stories. I went through a bad divorce. I'm a single parent of five kids. I can sit here and play woe is me all day long. But who does that inspire? No one. Complaining about it inspires no one. But showing you how I took those situations, fought like hell to get through it, and then came out on the other side, and now I have inspiring stories to tell.
That's what it's all about. The other thing, what I found too, and I learned this early on, thank God, I figured a couple of things out anyway. And if you could turn a negative, into a positive, that's a win. That's a win. And I always try to do that because sometimes you get jammed up, right? We get jammed up in our business and personal life and this and that. And you got to step back. You step back and say, wait, I got the power to fix this. I got the power to fix this. I could. And like that, right? Like a paradigm shift kind of thing. Bam. Yeah. In that mindset, you realize it. And that's the first, right? That's the first thing you realize. Oh my God, I'm letting this affect me and it's affecting what I do. No good, right? You catch yourself. So that awareness, right? That awareness, then you can take the proper action to correct it.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. Because too many times, and you see it on social media all the time, I need to catch a break or things need to change or chips need to fall my way. It's like, no, you have to decide what you want and then go do it. It's really that simple. Decide what you want and go do it. When I started this, I used my phone. I really didn't have a theme. I didn't know what I wanted to talk about. I just knew I could speak. I said, so let me just put my phone up. Let me pick a random topic. And I just started talking. I didn't have any guests. I didn't know where to find guests. Do I charge guests? Do I have to pay guests? I didn't know how any of this thing worked. I said, let me just go. And then I get my first guest. And now I'm no household name at all. There are people out there with much bigger podcasts than me that are still looking for guests for next week. I'm booking into the end of February. I do four shows a week.
It's a tremendous schedule. Tremendous. Yeah.
So it's like I could easily have just said, I don't know what I'm doing. I need to learn more. I need this. I need that. Or I can just start. It's like when you just start, the other pieces will fall in place. If you don't start, you're destined to stay where you are. But by starting, I was able to see the things I needed to see. Because when people stay in that sea of negativity, that's all you see. That's all you see. You're only going to see problem after problem after problem. So that's saying that you don't have problems or I don't have problems. I just don't focus on them. When things arise, I squash them, and then I get back to the task at hand.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So let's talk about you. So did you always have a love of animals, or is that something that you grew into?
Nah, I always did. I grew up, I had a little mixed Labrador retriever, and I was the one who took care of it, you know, for the most part. And I always had that bond, especially with dogs. I love dogs. I love all animals, but really I love dogs. You know, so I always had that. And then, you know, funny, I grew up with labs then, and then we ended up, you know, fast forward raising Chesapeake Bay retrievers for about 20, 25 years or so. And even then, I started photographing dogs, right? And I was strictly a nature and wildlife photographer. And a friend called me one day. I didn't know her at the time. And she says, you know, then I'm having a litter of puppies. Could you photograph my puppies? And like, I'm like, hey, call me, whatever. Because I had heard that so many times. Like when you see the pictures in the background, I do these art shows, they're all hanging up. So people say, oh, could you photograph my dog? Photograph my dog. And I'm like, hey, call me. And nobody ever called. Nobody called. And they're like, you know, all right, whatever. So I just kind of half dismissed it. And then she called me one day. She says, Dan, the puppies are going home in 2 weeks. Are we going to do this or what? I'm like, oh, God. So now, like, I don't want to embarrass myself, you know, especially photographically. I don't. And so I started driving around town. And I'm like, Trace, you know that. Those people with the property with that barn on the back, and then I'm like, that's the spot. I said, do you know those people? She says, not only do I know them, they're taking a puppy from my litter. I said, oh my god. So she's like, I'm like, 8:30 Saturday morning, make it happen. Call me. So she called them, set her all up, and so we ended up going there. And Saturday morning, she brought her son, her husband, and then the lady who now owns them, my friend Donna now. She brought her two daughters down, so we had a whole crew. We had 11 puppies. Unbelievable. Having a blast, you know, putting the puppy here. And it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And it was like, I didn't really think much of it because that's, you know, that's what I do. It's like very normal to me. You know, the photography, I just kind of see it, and that's the way it kind of works. So
I just want to stop you right there for a second. Just for the people listening and the people who are going to be listening on the replay, people that want to pivot into something else, I say this all the time, it's something you're already doing.
Yeah.
Did you hear what he just said? Like something that's just something that he did, not even realizing at that time that that's something that you can do for a career. Like when I started my gym, like people that listen to this on the regular, I know I say it over and over, but it's part of my core story. It was a hobby. And, you know, like I was a restaurant manager. And I was just sick of doing it. I mean, I was an athlete my entire life, but like I was managing restaurants and I needed an outlet. So like I actually converted my garage into a gym, but it was for me. Like it wasn't even for anyone else. Then it was just like, it'd be cool to, you know, have a couple other people, have a couple guys in here. We'll throw some weights around. Right. And then people told people and told people, and then they told people, and now next thing you know, I'm opening up a 5,000 square foot facility. And I was like, this wasn't supposed to be. And so, but the thing is, even though I love it and I love my clients and I won't stop doing it, I've always had dreams of being on television or some type of entertainer. And that's why I started this, because when you go on TV, the networks own you, you know, like, and I don't want to be just a pawn in someone else's bigger game. So then starting this and starting my own speaking business, now I control the narrative. You know what I mean? So like, so just the last piece is that what you want to do, I guarantee, is something you're already doing. So for those of you, maybe you like knitting, right? Teach people how to knit. Maybe you like drawing. No, you can teach someone else to draw. Like find something that you can teach to someone else, and you can have a very significant additional stream of income. Go ahead, Dennis.
Agreed. I totally agree with everything you just said. I was doing it, and you know, kind of. I'll add a little bit to that because what I found fascinating is, I think. Rob, I think we all have gifts, right? We all have gifts. And I think uncovering that gift and then like what you're doing, right? You got this passion and you got a story and you're sharing it and you turn it into a career and you turn it into the thing that you want to do, right? And then you attract the people, right? You attract, your energy attracts. When we talked initially at the summit, that energy attracted me. I'm like, I want to go out with this guy because it's exciting. He's got a great vibe, right? So I want to share the stories, right? And that's what you do. You bring that to the table, and then now you're inspiring people. That's what you want to do, and that's what you feed off of that, right?
Yes.
So I think a lot of the thing I saw and I realized about myself, I fell into photography by way of stress management. I was working the corporate world. I was miserable. My girl's already throw me out of the house. She's like, Dan, if you don't turn this around, you got to go. Yeah, you're unbearable. And she was right. Yeah. I was so stressed. I wasn't doing what I was meant to put on this earth to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but you know, I went to college. I was supposed to be a Wall Street guy, this and that and that. And I believed that because that's kind of the way it sort of was. What?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I believe you really got to honor your gift, but you gotta recognize it. Like, I didn't know I could take photos. I had no idea. So my girl got me a camera, and one day, and she says, the only time you're happy is like when you're out in nature and you're with the animals and you're hanging off cliff and you're skydiving, you're doing this. Like, I was an adventure guy. And she goes, I don't want to do that. That's not my thing. But, you know, I want to see what you're doing because it sounds really cool. So I started taking pictures. I was at a Barnes & Noble one day, and I'm just showing some people some pictures, and there's two guys standing behind me, and like, you know, it was funny, Jersey. This is the Jersey coming out now. So they're looking at me. They're like, who are you? I'm like, who am I? I'm like, who are you? You know, they're like, right? So I'm like, they're like, you're not a pro. You're not a pro photographer. I'm like, I don't have the first clue about it. They're like, are you kidding me? I'm like, nah, I ain't kidding. These are like the first photos I ever took, you know? And they're like, you could do this. And that was the moment. That was the moment. I'm like, really? Because I was looking for a way out. I didn't know anything about photography. I didn't know anything, especially the business side. I knew nothing, zero. So they're like, we'll help you. I'm like, done. I'm like, cool. I got their cards. We talked. They took me under their wing. Blah, blah, blah. And that's how it started. So I'm like, oh, I got a way out. So what I did was I went to in Barnes & Noble. I went right to the back of Barnes & Noble. I got like a stack of technical and business photo books, like a stack.
Yeah.
And I read through, and I'd go out in the field, and I would practice every single day. And I'd go home, and that was back when we shot slide film. I'd go home and edit.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good. This works. Oh, this one sucks. Throw it. And you learn. You go back out the next day. You correct it. All right. Oh, I'm getting it. So every day. And it took really about a year, almost 2 years, where to the day where I said, I went out one day. I said, this today, I'm going to decide today. This is what I want to do. Can I do it? So I said, I'm going to go out today. If I can get an image today, like the ones I see in like Outdoor Photographer or National Geographic, if I can come even close, I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. Or I'm all in. Right. And I did. And I came back and I'm like, oh my God, I did it. Now I'm in. Nice. Now I'm in. That was the moment. Now I'm in. No turning back. So that's what happened. But you got to realize, right? So the problem I had is, it was easy for me. The photography, taking the pictures, was very easy. So I didn't realize what a gift it was or that I could do it because, right, some things, if they're too easy, you don't value it, right? If it was difficult and I struggled through it, I would have put so much more value. Oh, my God, I made it. But from the first picture I took, right, but that's a gift. That's a gift. And to me, like what I realized, I started realizing – I got to honor that gift. I got to share that gift with the world. That's what I'm here to do.
Yes.
And once I realized that, that's kind of when things really started happening because then a lot of things happened, like, right, social media made it easier to share it.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was a whole ride. So now I'm connected with a ton of people and doing this and that. And that. So that's an important thing. Like if it's easy, don't undervalue it. Value it more because that's probably what you're meant to do, right? It's like, I got this gift. Like when I took that puppy photo, I saw that photo driving at 35 miles an hour past that barn. And like, I knew, like I had those images in my head. Like I saw the light, the way it hit. I saw the rock pile of wood, a little bridge, had all this old farm equipment, like 8:30, 8:40, 8:45, that bad. It's going to be perfect. And we went there and it had, just like you talk about the manifest, you see it. Yeah. You believe it, it happens. I had those images in my head a week or two before we even got to the photo shoot.
Wow.
You know?
Check this out. This is the best photo I've taken.
Ah. Oh,
wait, I lied. I didn't take this one. But even still, but this is over Providence.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody else took this one, but like that's an amazing photo. I thought that was the one that I took, but it's not. I can't take credit for that.
That's all right. They'll like that you put it up there for them, you know.
Yeah, true. All right, yeah. So I wanna double down on what you said about easy. See, because like too many times in the careers that we're in, it's super hard. And then you'll hear these huge entrepreneurs talk about how hard it is. But you have to decide what level of success you want or what does success mean to you. Because for someone like me, I don't want to be a billionaire. I don't want 80 different companies. I don't want a team of 1,000 people. I want myself, my daughter, and one assistant. That's it. That's all I want. Just the three of us. Have our higher end coaching program, my speaking gigs, and at the gym. You know, like I'm working with my daughter now to eventually take some of the pressure off of me at the gym. But right. Like that's all I want. I want in control of my schedule, in control of the gigs I do, and in control of how many coaching clients I take on. Like that's all I need. Like I don't need everything else. So for what I want, it's not difficult. I mean, is it time consuming? Well, yeah, you know, because like you have to put the work in. But I wouldn't say it's hard. And then the stuff that I suck at, you find people that don't suck at those things.
Amen on that. That's right. I'm looking for virtual assistants right now because there's certain things. Right, it's time consuming. It's not fun. Yeah. I don't want to do it. Like I'm kind of like you, and then I like to talk. I like to motivate. I like to photograph. I like to write the books. I like to do the show. I like to be with the people. Yes. But all the technical stuff, if I don't have to do that, if I don't have to correspond with stuff that I don't need to, this is the personal stuff I like to do, but there's a lot of stuff I don't have to do. So
see, and that's the stuff that's going to end up derailing you, or not you, but just anyone in general. Because like when I got my first business coach, he kept telling me, with the gym, he's like, Robert, he's like, if you really want to scale, he's like, you can't be working in the business. You have to work on the business. I said, but I started this because I like working with my clients. It's like, I don't want to be at home pushing a pencil. It's like, that's not why I did this. And he's like, well, you know, you're not going to be able to maximize your earning potential. I said, once again, what I do, I belong in the gym. When someone's trying to climb the rope and they're halfway and they're just about to give up, that's where I come in. I tell them, at that moment, that's when you pay me. You know what I mean? It's like you're not paying me for the first bit up. When you get stuck, that's where you need me. You know, and I want to be there for that. I want to be there to give them the high five as they reach each milestone. You know, it's like, I don't want to be at home and get a text message saying I climbed the rope. I want to be there to witness.
Right. That's the payoff, right? It's
like, that's what fuels my soul. So I told my business coach that's not happening. I was like, I'm still going to teach the lion's share of the classes. I said, I'll follow everything else that you want me to do, but that's not changing because that's where I belong. And so too many times people take on all the tasks that they should do. But like, by whose book? Right? Like the business is yours. It's like you pick you pick what you want your 5% to be and go do that. And then outsource the things that you don't want to do.
Exactly. They're when you own the business, right? And this is the beauty of owning your own business.
Yes.
There's no more shoulds. You don't have to do it, right? We have that option. We can choose to, or we can choose not to, or we could choose to hire, right? That's the and that's the beauty. We could write our own ticket, especially and you realized, I think early, right? You realized, what's the value of your time? What's the value of your sanity, right? Like how big do you want to grow? I mean, some people want the numbers. Maybe it's the ego thing. Maybe it's that's their financial security.
Yeah.
And there's no right or wrong. It's like, where are you going to be happy? Like if you have multiple businesses and you're so stressed out, you can't enjoy it. And you have a freaking heart attack at 50 years old. Is that good? Is that exactly. success? It's not good. Like me, I honestly want to sell millions of kids books. That's my goal. That's my goal. And I've done everything I can in a pretty short period of time. Like I'm like, once I was saying with the photography, once I'm in, I'm all in. Like I throw out a couple of things that people understand. Right. So I had, you talk about serendipity, right. And you talk about like when you see it, when you put it out there, when you take that step, that's when the doors open, the action, right? We talk about that. When you take that action, then you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
I want to tell you a good story because it makes sense to any single person that's ever going to listen to any of your shows and use this because this is what I found. I had a mentor and it all happened. I believe it was God's gift to me. That's what I believe. I think people are put in your life to, and you got to recognize it. That's all about recognizing. So 1995, I can name the date. So that's right when I was getting those images and I said, I'm going to do this. I fly down to Corpus Christi, Texas. I go to a wildlife, North American Nature Photographers Association. I had a big wildlife convention. I had 300 photographers, whatever it was. Standing there, I didn't know anybody. I knew one person. I'm standing there and, like, you know, again, Jersey guy. There's a photographer talking and this and that. And I'm just standing, like, scratching my head. And then I said, why would you do it that way? Why do you do it this way? Right? Like, rookie, nobody, I don't know anybody. And he's like, he looks at me. Almost like he's like, yeah, right. Yeah, that makes sense. I would have never thought of that. And he hands me his card. And I didn't think nothing of it. Right. Again, the guy next to me, thank God, he goes, you know who that is? I'm like, I don't know anybody here. He says, that's Carl Sams. He's like the biggest print wildlife and nature selling photographer in the whole country. He's number one, the best of the best. So I tucked that card away. So fast forward. I start getting good. I go on the road for about 2 years, really getting photographs. So I called him up. I said, Carl, I met you. He said, call you, reach out if you need anything. So I'm calling, you know, could you help me out? I want to sell prints. This is what I want to do. I want to do what you're doing. How do I do it? I said, are you open to help me? He's like, yeah. I laid out the whole plan. He goes, I'm going to give you everything you need to do right now. He goes, call me in 6 months or call me in a year. When you get this done, and he goes, I'll give you the advanced stuff because you're not ready for certain things.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is what you need to do today. This is what you need to do. So I did exactly what he said. Fast forward. So I did it. Things are good. I'm making money, doing things. I'm doing things the right way. Fast forward years later, I run into him at one of the art shows, and the guy's selling a ton of stuff. Oh my God, he had to successfully. I think he sold. Give or take. He kind of told me some numbers, but I think to date, I'm going to say conservative, 5 million kids books, 5 million.
Wow.
It could be six. I'm not sure. But so he guided me on my kids book. He guided me. So, again, serendipity. I'm in an art show. I think it was Columbus, Ohio, Gettysburg, Maryland. I forget which one. But a young woman walks into my booth and she goes, man, Dan, you gotta do a kids book with that puppy and the wildlife. She goes, my boss is doing really good. He's selling a lot of books. This and that. He goes, it'd be a really cute story. He goes, I'm going to send them over. I didn't know who she was talking about. Next thing I know, Carl's wife, Jean, who's the co-author of his books and then takes the pictures too. Jean walks to my booth and I recognize. She goes, oh my God, this puppy's so cute. You got to do a book with these. Oh, you know, we're doing really well. Very soft spoken, you know. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I'm going to send Carl over. I said, you know, so Carl comes over at the end of the show because that guy had a line out the door. People were signing books and buying prints and stuff. And so he came over and he says, Dan, you got to do a book. You got to do a kid's book with this. Unbelievable. You do really well. I said, I don't know anything about books. I don't know anything about kids, you know, really. And he goes, no, he goes, you know about life. And these pictures are awesome. He goes, I'll guide you. So now, you know, X amount of years later, this guy's put right back in my life and he says, I'll help you, right? So I said, okay. So I said, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I'm working on this. I'm putting out another book, right? And he says, let me get certain things done. He goes, call me after the new year. He goes, I'll guide you through it. So I did, of course. You know, I said, if he's willing to help me. And that's the other thing I want to kind of hit home. If somebody's putting your life like that, take advantage. And I mean that in a positive way. They're there for a reason, right? And don't forget this, like the value of experiences. Now, it's your obligation, once you kind of get your stuff together, you better go out and help somebody out. You better go pay that forward. This guy helped me. He didn't have to. No charge, no nothing. He did it. He saw something, and he says, you really got to do this. And I had the wisdom to listen. To recognize this is a gift, another gift, and I took the action to make it happen.
Yes, let me double down on that. Because like I was saying earlier, when people get stuck in that sea of negativity, you miss opportunities. Right. Opportunities are everywhere. And I'll give a quick example. A woman came to me talking about she had issues, like she had lost her boyfriend from years ago, and she was still having issues just processing that loss. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I help people with that. Like, that's what I do. You know, outside of the gym, I help people that have gone through traumatic things, and I help them, you know, I walk them through it so they can learn how to find the lessons in it and move forward with a motivational story rather than just dealing with hurt or pain. And so I told her, I was like, this is what I do. And so a year and a half, like she would keep reaching out to me like, well, are you ready? Are you ready to do this? Let's meet for like an hour and I'll talk you through it. It's like, I'm not sure if that's what I need though. I'm like, but you keep reaching out to me. It's like, you know, the universe is pushing you to me and you keep resisting it. You know what I mean? So it's like you had an opportunity. You know, the guy said, call me if you need anything. You had the courage to call. And then just good things happen from there.
Right.
You know,
right.
I just wanted to double down on that for the people listening, is that the opportunities are there. You just have to be A, willing to see it, and then B, willing to receive it.
And I'll tell you a couple interesting things, and this will be key for your audience too, is opportunities are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that really hit home, because I saw the way his mind worked, and he saw opportunity in everything. When he was even in my booth and we talked over time, and he's like, his mind is like always going, like almost genius, and he seems kind of like sometimes, you know, like he's not thinking or something, almost like aloof, but there's a brilliance going on. And he's like, you should, and he would rattle off like a dozen things like maybe you would never think of. You're like, how does this guy come up with this stuff? Like genius, you know, but in a real subtle way. And I'm like, this is brilliant. You know, this is brilliant. And what I found was that, you know, he, like, honestly, sometimes I call him, I don't even think he knows who he's talking to. He's helped so many people, right? I'm like, yeah, I call myself, you know, you see the pictures behind me, that puppy, that's the one I based the, that's what he walked into. We saw that puppy in the wild. He's like, that's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. So when I call my, this is the puppy, I call myself, I'm like, I'm the puppy in the window guy. Remember me? We talked, you know, he's like, help me out. And he's like, hey, and then we're talking, and throw me a few pointers and whatnot. But stepping back. So this is what I think would be of value to your audience. So I had this book done. I had this book done many, many years ago, And I was ready to go. I hired he actually gave me his graphic designer. So the girl that walked in my booth was the graphic designer. And so I want to backtrack, and I'll try to make it quick. But what happened was, I hired somebody. I think it was like Simon & Schuster, graphic designer, and it was she did a horrible job. Horrible. It was like SpongeBob drunk. It was really bad, and I got so sick over it. I called Carl. I said, Carl, I don't know what to do. I hired this person for Simon & Schuster that did a terrible job. I can't take it. I'm stressing this and that. And he's like, just talk to Karen. Hold on, she's right here. Puts her on the phone. I said, remember me? You're the one. She's like, yeah. She goes, I'm working on 3 books, but she says, send me what you got and we'll make it happen. And she did. I mean, she did an unbelievable job. But so anyway, going backwards, so what I had this book done. We got it done. Karen did the design, this and that and that. And then one day, I couldn't move. I was laying on the couch and I couldn't get up. I said, what the hell is wrong with me? And all of a sudden, it's like somebody went in and shut the lights off out of nowhere. Bam, I can't move. I can't think. I got brain fog. I'm exhausted. I don't want to do anything. I don't even want to photograph. I don't want to do nothing. So I went to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor, in and out of hospitals, and nobody. So anyway, long story short, I got misdiagnosed from everything from major depression to even bipolar, and none of this was true. I was depressed because it turned out, like, and this went on for about almost 6 years. So I had this book done a while ago, And then none of the doctors could figure it out. So in the meantime, I had been on every antidepressant, every class, every combination. I got even missed in and out of hospitals, tested, all sorts of the craziest thing. And now you are getting depressed because you want to do this. You got this burning desire to put this book out. You know it's going to do good. It's going to inspire people. It's going to do good stuff. You're going to make people smile. I can't do nothing. I can't even think straight. Like, I put on 40 pounds right after I ran that Spartan race, right after I ran that race. I was right. So I'm 202 pounds, finishing in the middle of the pack. I'm in great shape. Right after that, something happened. I couldn't move. Now imagine going from like the best shape, not the best shape of my life, but I was in really good shape. I was working with the trainer for a long time. And now you can't move. You're like, what the hell is wrong with me? So, you know, it was, and now you're getting depressed because you got this burning desire to put this book into the world, right? You want to do this. You want to make people smile. You want good things to happen. Obviously you want to sell a bunch. And now I can't move. I can't move. So in and out, you know, again, in and out of hospitals, doctors, medications, misdiagnosis. Turns out, I was narcoleptic, and nobody diagnosed it. So not only I had sleep apnea, so technically I didn't sleep for like 6 years. I didn't sleep.
So for the audience, what does that mean?
So there's two types of narcolepsy. It's interesting. I only have one type, and they kind of like, if you have one, you normally don't get the other. So what they have, the narcolepsy that people hear about, is they call that a cataplexy, where all of a sudden you drive and walk and you sort of just collapse. You know, people, you know, when they fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
I don't do that. Thank God. I got what they call excessive daytime sleepiness. So I was so tired. And then with the narcolepsy, there's something like a brain chemical. I forget what it's called, like procretin or some, whatever it's called. And it's not producing it. So it you never go into deep sleep. That's really so you never sleep. Technically, I don't sleep. So what happened was, after exhausting, now I got a diagnosis. I still can't do anything, right? I can't do anything because I'm still not sleeping. So I'm like, what the hell? So they send you to a neurologist, and they basically try to treat it with stimulants. Well, here, we talk about overcoming obstacles. So now I'm depressed, and I'm trying. I have Tourette syndrome. So if I take stimulants, I'm all over the place. Yeah. You know, so now that's even worse. And I tried it. I'm like, let me try if I could balance it and not, you know, twitch and, you know, do the head shake and have like a grunt if it's bad.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, oh my God, and now I can't do the stimulants, and I didn't like it anyway. I'm still depressed because now I can't move and I'm 40 pounds heavier. I'm like, I need to, I exhausted every modality of Western medicine. So I was with the neurologist. He's like, then there's nothing else I can do. There's nothing anybody could really do for you. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, I've heard something and I'm going to do it. I want to know if you know anything about it. I said, there's a functional nutrition option that what they do, I heard. I don't know too much about it, but I got nothing to lose. And what they do is they treat this as an autoimmune disease, and what they do is they boost your immunity. So basically, whatever they do, it's going to get you to the best you could possibly be. And this is the doctor's name, this lady, Dr. Gordine. Okay. And he goes, listen, I've heard of her. He says, I'm a Western guy. I don't know what she does, but I've had people go to her, and I get a call, you know, sometime later, a year or two later, and somehow they're fine. I said, done. So it was all, of course, now the problem is, I was working a little bit, and I'd fall asleep. I'd drive down, like, I work 20 minutes away. I'd have to sometimes pull over and 10 minutes later take a nap and then go back to go to work, right? Because I was that tired. And so I go to this lady and I told her the problem. She goes, well, she goes, you're never going to be 100%, you know, most unlikely, but she goes, I'll get you to the best you can be. How about that? Would that work for you? She goes, I said, yeah, anything. You know, I just want to function, you know. So it took a while. They do a lot of testing. They do this and that and that. But, they did it. So, you know, it took a while. They do the nutrition. They find out what you're deficient in. And it was a whole thing. It was actually quite fascinating. Yeah. Problem was, right, so now I'm only working a few, you know, 30 hours, 20 hours a week. You know, I'm struggling. I can't do anything. I can't think straight. And on top of that, now there's no insurance, right? I'm paying like $5,000-$6,000 out of pocket. I'm like struggling to pay that. Like, I don't got the money. You know, it was bad. It was a bad situation. But I'm like, this is do or die, because if I don't get better, I can't. Like, yeah, it's like, and it's, I'll tell you, it got so bad. Like, those nights, I'm telling you, it was so, imagine not sleeping for like 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Like, you know, a couple of days you don't get sleep.
Yeah.
You talk about years and years and years. You don't sleep. And you're just like, you're praying at night. You're like, man, don't let me wake up tomorrow. Don't let me wake up tomorrow. Don't let me wake up. I can't take it no more. Like, you're going bananas.
Yeah.
And the only thing, not the only thing, I mean, my family, you know, they were supportive of this, and nobody could really understand it. But the thing is, the thing that kept me going more than anything, I said, I got to get this book out into the world. I got to do good. I got to put something positive. I can't die with this book in me. I can't do it. I owe it to the world. I want to put this out. I want to help. I got better things I want to do. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I had no idea. I didn't know how I was going to get down the stairs. I didn't know anything. I was, you know, you're frightened. Is this forever? You don't know. You don't know. Is it going to pass? You know, there's no cure. There's still no cure for it. And I see a lot of people struggling with it. So I want to help them, because it's a brutal existence.
Yeah.
So that's the message, right? So, you know, your show is about the overcoming the obstacles. I mean, there was a night, I mean, I'm kidding you not, and I had a reaction to one of the medications they were giving me, and that's the day I stopped. That's really the night I almost killed myself. That's how bad it got. Wow. It was so bad, I had to hold on, like, to a rail, like, just to stop myself, and I had such a bad reaction, and I got back to the couch, and I just sat there, and like, almost like, you know, planes crashing, you got to brace yourself, and I got through it, and then, the medication got out of my system, and I said, no more. That's when I decided to go, you know, try to find something like an alternative, because I was done. That was it, you know, and I wanted to do this. I wanted to do it. And I'm like, I got to find a way, right? There's always a way. That's the message, right? There's always a way. There's always a way. So like, whatever you're going through, right? I mean, if you could defy death, right? And defy all of this, and defy all of the odds of overcoming not only the depression, right, and the Tourette's and the narcolepsy, which is brutal, and still find a way to come out the other side, you know. And it was hard. I mean, there's nothing easy about it. Every day it's a head game. You're like, how am I going to survive? How am I going to get through the day? How many reruns of Law and Order can I watch? You know, how many things can you, and you're like, you want to do stuff and you can't move.
Yes.
You can't move, and you just literally were so tired. I mean, it took an effort just to, you didn't even want to eat. You didn't want to, just like, it was too exhausting even to think. You just, you know, it was, and for somebody that, you know, and the hardest thing I think was that, was people say, like, sometimes when you did get enough energy, there was a couple of days here and there, you know, you go out, you just force it, and then, oh, you look fine. And I'm like, it's the last thing you wanted to hear. You're like, I can't even think straight. I can't move. Maybe I look fine. You'll get through it. Yeah, people have no idea. They have no idea.
Exactly.
You know, and like, it was so brutal. And a lot of people, one, they didn't want to hear it, right? So that's tough. And nobody knew what to say, even if you did. And then it's a hard thing to understand.
See, and that goes back to what I said earlier about self. Is like, once you stop caring what other people feel or think or what their opinions are, your life gets so much better. So much better. Because, I mean, I've had this mentality for a long time now. But, like, in my early 20s, like, I became a manager really young. Like, I was 19. Well, I mean, I was 15 when I became a supervisor. So imagine being a teenager and you're working with people 25, 30, 35, 40 years old, and they're looking at me as some kid. So it's like I always tried extra hard to make sure I got their respect instead of just doing what I did to get the position. And then even when at 19, I became a general manager, and same thing, you know, I had this woman at the time, she was like 62, and she just paid me no ounce of mind. She's like, I got kids older than you, and I've been doing this longer than you've been alive. And it's like, I was like, all right, what can I do to get her to respect me? And then it's like, wait a second. Like, why do I care if she respects me?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, she played no bearing in me getting this promotion. So, like, I need to just sit back and do what I'm best at. and do what I know how to do.
Right.
And then I'll see if I can learn from her, and I'll utilize her experience to learn and grow. And then once I started doing that, all right, I'm back.
Can you? Right. Yeah, it's crazy, right? I'm shutting down my phone. I was like just texting my girl. I'm like, get off the phone.
Yeah, my wife, it just kicked.
Right? We talked about that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm hardwired. So like,
wow.
So it just flashed again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that. I don't know if there's something in the area, but I mean, we're almost done anyway. But,
yeah.
All right. So let's bring it together. So your books are done, right? Or your book is done?
Yeah. It's doing good. Buddy's Magic Window. Yeah, it's fantastic. I'll show you a copy, right? I got one here. So won the 2 Ben Franklin Awards, right? Best children's picture book. I took best cover, which is awesome. So this is, remember I was talking the puppy in the window.
Yeah.
So that was, I saw this window, right? I saw the window from the side of the road. I said, we got to put the dog in the window and do the shot. Now here's what's fascinating. So I'm driving 35 miles an hour, down the road. Oh, let me show you. I didn't know we were going to do this, right? You talk about like little mirror. I call them little miracles, right? So this pane of glass, I'm trying to get it right. And I'm dyslexic as it is. So that pane of glass, when we got down to do the photo shoot, there was no glass in it. There was no glass. Like, how does that happen? Like, perfect. I couldn't see it. So we put them up in the window.
Yeah.
And my friend Tracy, who bred the dog, right? I said, go behind the window. Go behind the window. Well, hold him by the butt, right? And then backtrack. I went over her house like the week or two before, and I was playing with all the puppies. Yeah. And he was always the polite one. I could hold him in my hand. He'd fall asleep. He would wait for all the other puppies to run up and jump all over. He would sit there, and I'm like, come here, little buddy. Come here, little buddy. And I would hold him. He'd fall asleep. We'd hang out. And the people who own the property actually were taking that puppy, and they named him Buddy. How cool is that?
I love it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That's awesome. All right. So let's talk about your website here. So people can get your book right on your website.
Yeah. DennisGlennon.com. Yep. They can get it there. That's the best place. Cause I, if they could always put a note or text or email me, and they can, I could personally sign it for them, which is really cool. It's on Amazon too. They can get it on Amazon, but I like it better if they order through the site because I can sign it and stuff. It's really fun. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I see, you got all kinds of
stuff on here. Yeah. It's all wildlife. There's wildlife prints, and we do we make merchandise with it too. Like all the stuff in the background here, mm-hmm. There's some prints on canvas. Now we're printing on acrylic, on wood. We just started doing it. It's a really neat stuff. It's really, it's different. You know, it's like, it's so, the colors are so vibrant. Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check you out. It's like you can't see it because of the green screen. Yeah. But on this wall over here, I have all kinds of animal pictures. I have a moose over here.
Yeah.
A bear, ducks, elk, deer, bobcats. I love wildlife photos.
The best. It's the best. The funniest. This year, the one behind me, I got a smiling moose. That's awesome. That's what he's been doing really well. And I got a bear. You can't see it up close, but they have both the mother and the cub. They look like they're smiling. It's awesome. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, where'd you get that moose picture from?
I go up every year. I've been going there like 30 years. I go outside of a place called Baxter State Park in Maine. It's all the way up North Woods. Yeah, northwest.
Yeah, I heard that's the best place to see moose.
Oh, yeah. To Maine or Colorado, Wyoming, or Alaska. If you want to see moose, those are the places to go. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, because I go up into New Hampshire and Vermont every year, and I never see any.
Nah, I only saw all these years. I've been doing this a long time. I've been about 30 years now. I've only seen, I think, one moose in New Hampshire, none in Vermont, none. And so I go to Maine. You go way up north, up by Baxter. There's a bunch of lakes up there. You could go Rangeley area or there's a bunch of them up there. There's one guy, I think, I can't think of the name of the lake, but he does like pontoon rides and they do like an airboat ride and they'll kind of take you out to them. It's kind of cool. And what I do is the best way. I've been a kayaker for many years now and we know some of the ponds that they feed in. So I'll take a lot of the photos I do are via kayak, which is fascinating because sometimes not only are you eye level, but sometimes you're below them because the ponds are shallow. So they're standing up and you're like, oh my God, you're looking up at it, which gives you an interesting angle. It's different than on land and a different perspective. And you really could get like eye to eye with them and up close because as long as, you know, you don't get, I got big lenses and whatnot. You don't have to get too close, but it really becomes a lot more intimate and interesting. Where you're limited on land, you got no limits. You got no limits. You know, as long as you don't get too close, you don't want to spook them. That's bad for a lot of reasons. Yeah, but exactly. What disrupts their they could get upset, and that's really bad. Or it disrupts their feeding patterns, and they need to eat a lot to get ready for the winter. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to spook them. But other than that, most of the time, if you keep a distance, especially in a kayak, it doesn't bother them. And they'll kind of like they'll set the boundaries. If they get agitated, you back up and take off. But you do a slow, very slow approach. And use the biggest lenses first. And if you get a little closer, you could choose a different one or just sit back. They could read them. You know, you do this a long time. You can sort of they could care less. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but you could almost go up and pet them. And I keep a good distance, but. It's amazing. And then some, man, you don't want to be near them. Oh, my God. You can see them get agitated right away.
I do not recommend going up and petting moose. I don't want somebody Hey, I heard it on that Shut Up and Grind show. Yeah. They just go up and pet the moose. Yeah, and they're getting gored and trying to sue me.
Yeah, don't do that. I try to keep it. You know, it's funny. One of the trails that we hike on frequently, and this used to be happened more back in the day. So we you know, as photographers, we're out in the dark. Like we go, we want to see that first light or even before the lights over the mountain.
Yeah.
So we're off hiking with headlamps on and whatnot. And there's a couple of trails that basically they want to feed in the pond early in the morning. So many times it happened where you're walking on a trail. Now, if you slip off that trail, it's slippery in the morning. It's like a kind of like a thin boardwalk. I've had that where I've slipped, and then all of a sudden a moose would stand up because you'd spook them because they're laying right off the trail.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then they just almost like they'll get up and like they almost knock you over to get to the pond. hasn't happened in a long time, but there used to be a lot more moose up there. But you gotta always gotta be careful. Always gotta be careful. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so that's our time. So give us some final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I always say this in life, right? In life, believe it, achieve it. You got to believe it. You got to dream. You know, don't let anybody tell you anything. Don't listen to anybody. Right. Anybody that tells you any different than to live the life you want to live, don't listen to nobody. You listen to yourself. What's in your heart, what's in your mind, and you put it in your mind, you could do anything. And if anybody's a negative, get rid of them. You don't need that in your life. And find the mentor. The best way, if you really want to grow fast, find somebody who's done it and ask for help, because eventually somebody will. Like they might be tied up at the time, but they might be able to refer you. They might give you a little time. But if they see that passion burning in you, if they see that passion, like you're going to do this no matter what, you're going to attract those people. You're going to attract people who are going to help you. People are going to come that you don't even know. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know nothing. You bring those people into your life, but you got to take that step. You got to take that leap of faith. You got to go for it. Like, it's the only thing that matters. Like, you got to believe it. You dream it. You achieve it. You can do it. You can do anything in this life. And we learned from COVID, right? We learned this. If you didn't learn it before, now life is short. And life could be really short. And it could be gone like that. There's no reason now, especially if people haven't figured it out. You don't need to work for somebody nowadays. You could do it yourself. Work for yourself. You get to sleep when you want. You get to work what you want. You get to name your schedule. You get to write your ticket. There's no limits. Mm-hmm. Be your own person, but dig down deep in your heart, in your soul. Do that soul searching and go for it. Just take those steps. The minute you take that step and you decide what you want to do, don't worry about the how so much. The how is going to change a million times, right? It's going to change. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be, you know, different social media platforms. There's going to be this. Don't worry about the how. You worry about, I want to do this, and things open up. And once you have that mindset, there's unlimited, right? You probably turn down opportunities because you want a certain lifestyle. Me too. I got things I could be doing. If I want to work 20 hours a day, I could.
Exactly.
You know, but I'm tired. You know, I got a lot going on as it is. And you can do anything you want. That's the big message in this life. Especially now, more than ever, there's no reason not to be your own person, not to do your own thing. Social media is huge. The internet's huge. There's opportunity. There's so much. Like you said, we opportunity is everywhere. Be open to it. Look for it, search it out, look for it, recognize it, and then chat with people who have done it. Anybody you can grab their ear, even if it's 30 seconds, that one pearl of wisdom could just leapfrog you so far.
Yeah.
Don't be shy. Go for it. Just go. Like, you're not, nothing's going to stop. I always knew deep down, this is what I wanted to do. I didn't know how I was going to do it. But I knew I wanted to become a best-selling children's award-winning children's book author, and it's there. And every single day, it is growing, and it's reaching more people. And I'm getting email. I get the funniest emails, and I get great emails. It inspired my kid. We read the book 3 times today. We did this. It made me laugh. It made me smile. It broke the all the drudgery of the news we talked about. Right? It's you're putting good stuff in the, you know, out into the world, and that's. That's what you got to do. Just be your own person. Listen to yourself. Don't listen to anybody negative. Get rid of them. I've always done that. I've surrounded myself with good people. I have great friends, great family. Thank God I'm blessed like that. Yeah. But I dismiss negativity. I dismiss it quick.
That's
quick. Right. And anybody that says I can't do it, I don't listen to them. I just walk away, or I shut them down, or they're on social media. I block. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I want to listen to people with the same mindset, right? Because then you attract each other. You help each other out, you know? And it's all about being positive. It's all about putting something positive into the world. And it's all about believing in your dream and then going with every ounce of energy and just going for it. And that's the key. That's the key. That's what you got to do. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the key thing that you said in this last hour and 10 minutes was you can't die with this book within you.
Right.
Like that's what I want people to take away is you have something inside of you right now that can help change someone's life. People always say they want to change the world, but the world is a huge place. But you can change the world for a whole lot of people with that one thing that you have inside you. And with me, I'm very resilient. And so I teach people how to get through life's obstacles. I help them build resilience. I help them build confidence. Like that's something that I have within me that I can help teach them. And so if I was to, heaven forbid, if I was to pass away at a young age, I can pass away fulfilled because I didn't leave that gift. You know what I mean? Like I acted on it, and there's a couple thousand people out there that are like, you know what? He helped me get through this difficult time in my life. And that's what I want to leave behind. And that's something that one of my kids can pick up and continue.
And the people that you helped, they carry your legacy with them. Yes. They carry because a part of you is in them, and that lives forever. And they pass it forward, right? They pay that forward. They pay that gift. And what you did, right? And you recognize this. You honored your gift. That's your gift, right? And you give it, right? You give it, and you get paid, but you give it, and that's your gift, and you share it, and it grows, right? Yes. And it's like, beautiful, right? It's beautiful.
Yes, I want to expand on that too before we go. Because you said, and you get paid. Because too many times when people are in a service industry, people want to like snark at the fact that we get paid for it. But it's okay that the CEO of Marlboro gets paid so people can smoke. It's like, that's okay. But you want to shake your head because like when I'm teaching people, they're going to use it forever. If I teach someone how to become a better speaker, you don't just backtrack. You know what I'm saying? That's a skill that you're going to use for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? It's like you pay me for my coaching program one time, and you will never speak the same again. Never. You'll stop saying, you'll stop using filler words. You'll stop fidgeting. You're gonna know how to speak up, you know, sit up tall with your chest out, and you're going to know how to tell your story the way the audience needs to hear it. You're going to be able to inspire other people. You're going to be able to get on stage and have everybody in there wanting to hear more, wanting to hear more. It's like, that's valuable. That is valuable. Like if you're willing to pay money to go watch a stupid movie, right? Don't scoff at the people who are literally changing people's lives. There is a value to that. I just want people to understand that. There's a value to that.
You know, a lot of creative people sell themselves short. We know this, right? Yes. And you add value to people's lives that they're gonna take it on forever. Like I add value to people's lives, and we should get paid, and we should get paid well. Like I don't apologize for it. Like I want to give a lot, but I want to get paid. You know, we deserve it. We work hard. We're small business people. We work harder, I think, than anybody. You know, And we give value and we care. We got a big heart and you know, figure out right what we did to get where we got. Think about all the dues we paid, all the reading we've done, and the research and the learning and the
traveling, the mastermind,
all the courses we've taken. There's a lot of money invested, a lot of time invested. There's a lot of wisdom we gained. And I learn every day, every single day. I'm doing better. I'm doing things to improve, to make me a better person so I can help other people be a better person. You could learn from a 2-year-old if you're paying attention, right? Exactly. You can learn from a 102-year-old. You learn more because they got so much. That's the other, I'll tell you the biggest takeaway, right? Like never stop learning, never stop improving, never stop, because when you stop, you die. That's that's the bottom line. Like, you want to learn and grow and then pass it on and share and then keep that cycle going. You want to keep it going. And don't ever, especially creative people, like I see them so, don't apologize for getting paid. You add value and know your value. And I've heard you speak of that. Know your value.
Yeah.
And you probably still undervalue yourself. Get paid more. Look, network. Find out what other people are getting. Find ways to get paid. Find gigs that you could improve your net worth and your position. So a lot of things will happen with that. You can give back to your family. You can give your kids a better life. Maybe you can help your parents. Maybe you can help
community. You can help charities. There's so many different angles.
There's no limit, especially when you're doing well at that point. Because right when you're in a position of strength, then you could give more, right? You can. You have that option. And it's, you know, obviously I want to give too, but, you know, you could give more. And then you don't have to stress about it. You know,
yeah, I mean, ask anyone, stress. Right? Ask anyone, how much is it worth to you to never doubt yourself again?
Priceless.
You know, it's like how many opportunities have you missed because of doubt? Because I know I've missed quite a few before I built this level of resilience. I missed quite a few thinking I wasn't ready, thinking as a college dropout, can I do that? You know, like there were so many times I doubted myself. And now as a college dropout, I'm mentoring people with degrees.
Master's
degrees, with PhDs, with multiple PhDs.
Right.
And they're still coming to me to help them craft their stories. You know what I mean? So it's like what I tell people whenever I hear about the whole you got to get educated thing, like having a degree means you're proficient in one area. That's what that means. So there's going to be something else out there that you need someone else's help on.
And
that's how that works.
And I'll throw this at you because it really ties in perfect what you're saying. I learned more in 5 months of travel than 5 years of college.
Yeah.
I learned more about people. I learned more about life. I learned more about cultures. I learned more about a lot of stuff because you have to get out there and experience different things. College is kind of insulated, right? We learn academics, but academics isn't life. Like, you start talking to people, especially people that are different than you, right?
Yes.
And that's what we went back to right at the beginning. We talked about we may look different, right? We may act different. We may talk different. But in the end, we want the same things, right? Yep. We all want the same things. So when you get out there and you realize that and it really hits home, that's it's big. It's big. Yeah. It's a big thing. It's a big revelation. You know, it's a big thing. And then you learn to get on with life so much better. You're so much more at peace. You're so much happier. And you could even give more because you understand people. You understand why. I encourage anybody that can in any moment that you can. And see, if you have to save the money, take the time or go on a cheap, I don't care what you have to do. Get out and travel, even if it's to the next town, the next county, the next state, the next whatever, and talk to everybody. Learn the local culture. Go to the little diners and just chat with people. Just listen. Just listen. And you start realizing stuff. They can't teach you these things. They can't teach you these things.
So true.
Man, and you learn. And always be open to learning. Always be open to understanding. Always be open. Keep that mind open. Be open-minded about everything. Be curious about everything.
Yes.
And your life becomes so much richer. It's so much richer, so much more colorful, so much more understanding and compassion. All of these good things happen if you're open to it. Invite them to come to you. It'll come.
So true. So true. All right, sir. So this has been a very, very great hour and change.
Yeah. So, I told you I talk. Yeah.
I told you. So do I.
It's awesome. So, I love it. Love it.
All right. So your website is Dennis Glennon. And for the people that are going to be listening to this on audio, it's Dennis, just the way it sounds. And then Glennon, GLENNON.com. You can see his work. You can get his book. You can find out more about him and what he does. And so, I'm gonna bump you out to do my closing monologue, but don't sign off yet though.
Got it.
All right, because I'm gonna have some other connections for you.
Sure, wonderful. Thank you.
All right, so thank you for taking the time and dropping all that knowledge. It was great.
It's been fun. We'll do it again. But it's been a blast. I love you. Give me the energy, right? Now I can go out and do some more good for people. You know.
Awesome. Love it. All right. Thank you. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye. All right. So that was Dennis, wildlife photographer. And we went over a lot of different things there. And that's why I don't use your typical talking points, because conversations don't flow like that when you use a talking point. And he probably brought up things that he wasn't prepared to bring up. And that's why I like this format, because I want to get the raw, organic story of each guest. And just hearing in their own words from unprepared questions of how they got through those struggles, because that's the real life. Like, I don't want the sugar-coated 2021 version. Like, I want you to go back to the moment. Like, when I had my knee surgery, and I tell that story, I know I've told it 100 times, but, like, I bring you back, like, to where you feel like you're standing on that track. You could feel the heat of the sun beating down on you. And with each step I took heading to that high jump bar, I let you feel each moment. And then the moment I planted and my kneecap separated from from the tendon, like, I let you guys feel all of that. And that's the art of storytelling. You don't want to just get up and just regurgitate a bunch of information. You want your audience to feel everything that you're saying and everything that you felt on that day. And that's how you're going to transform people's lives. And that's how you're going to get people thinking better and feeling better about themselves. So we're going to leave you with that. I'm going to be back tomorrow with a YouTuber. See, and it's funny because she's got a pretty big audience. And I got right into her circle, you know, because it's all about timing. And we're going to share that story tomorrow. But she started a brand new show last week, and I was her first guest. And I told her she's got hundreds of thousands of followers, and she could have picked any number of people to be her first guest on the show. But I kept myself on the front of her mind. And I brought that up on our episode, and she's like, you really did. Like, you were like a little mosquito that just wouldn't leave me alone. I was like, but yet you still picked me, you know, because I put myself in a position for her to pick me. And so, again, I could have just looked at it and said, she's got so many followers. I don't have nearly that many followers. She'll never give me the time of day. Or I put my head down. I went to work. I just flooded her with love, with support. I donated to her causes. I supported her channel. I shared her posts. I liked her posts. I made myself the obvious choice. So it goes back to my opening monologue. When you think of self, you do things to put yourself in a position to have the success you're looking for. Now I'm going to leave you with that thought. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a